And that's why she won the Heart of Me 10. Let's give Julie another hand.
So inspiring.
She touches you in your heart. She inspires you. I've got a really funny story to tell you really quick. Imagine this, okay? You're praying, and you say to God, God, if you could just give me that table. If I could just have that table, I would be so happy. Or that chair, if you would just give me that chair. Or you say, how about that money? If I could just have enough money, can you imagine what I could do with that? I'll praise you forever. If you would just give me that, God. And God says, I don't make chairs or tables or money. I make trees. And what you do with that tree is up to you. This business, we can, is our tree. What we want to do with it, we can do. Our next speaker right now, I don't even know if I have to introduce him, because everybody knows who he is. He touches your heart, he inspires you, he's wise, he has a wealth of information. Everybody welcome Ben Woodward.
Ben, is this the one? Yes.
Well, I had an aha moment when Cameron Taylor was speaking. And I'm almost a little reluctant to say it in front of my old boss in the back of the room. But he was talking about the scarcity mentality and the abundance mentality. And what he said was that wealth is something that is created. And a penny dropped. In an employed set of circumstances, there is a scarcity mentality. You have budgets to work within. I can give a raise to someone, but only within a limited amount, because it's got to be within the budget. Yeah? Does that make sense? Your job will pay you only so much, but it won't pay, no matter how hard you work, it's not going to pay you too much more, unless you go somewhere else or do something different. But as entrepreneurs, there is no ceiling. We can create our own income. That, to me, was very satisfying to hear. That I've had a wonderful career, and I've loved every job that I've had. I've been really, really grateful for that. But I love being an entrepreneur where we can have an uncapped, the ceiling is off, there is no roof. We can create our own future and our own financial independence. That's huge, that, isn't it? So, anyway, I want to share something. This may come as a surprise to you. Thank you very much. But I was not the tallest kid in my class when I went to school. In fact, it dawned on me not that long ago when I was looking at some old class photographs. You know how they take the yearly photograph of the class? I was always in the same position in each class photo, at the back, at the far right, or at the far left. And I remember when I was a kid getting a picture taken, thinking, why am I always in the same spot? And it dawned on me, that's where the little kid was sat. You know, the middle-sized people were at the front, on the chairs, the tall people in the middle standing up, and then the little ones were on the benches at the back. And I thought, oh, I was the smallest kid every year at school. And one other thought on that. I was walking in the corridor just a little moment ago. I hope Molly won't mind me sharing this. And Molly's daughter bumped into me. I said, oh, hi there. And she looked at me. I've not spoken to her before. And she turned around to me and she goes, I'm taller than you. And I thought, yes. Quite significantly, too. And I thought that was an unusual thing to say, because she's like that tall. And she goes, I had my birthday yesterday. So, oh, fantastic. Yeah. How old did you turn? 11. What? I'm smaller than an 11-year-old girl. What's going on here? Now, there is method in this madness. But my question is, my subject is to be a person of influence. Yeah. Do you need to be tall, dark, and handsome, for example, to be a person of influence? Do you need to have wealth social status, perhaps, to be a person of influence? You don't, do you? What is truly required to be a person of influence? I want to cover two subjects, two critical issues today. One, how to truly influence for good the people around us. And two, in the Nikken context, how we do that in our business. Does that sound good? So first of all, has anyone seen that fantastic, I'm sure most of you have, very famous movie by Alfred Hitchcock, Psycho? Yeah? It's one of the first scary movies I think I ever saw. And I was probably too young when I saw it as well, I think. But when I was a kid coming home from school, I used to walk home from school, and I had to walk up, my house was at the top of the hill. And as I'd walk up the top of the hill, my house was at the top on the left, and just a little further down on the right was this old lady's house. And she lived by herself. And perhaps because she was lonely, she would sit at her window when it was homecoming time and watch the kids coming home from school, right? But kids have active imaginations, and I would walk home and sometimes think that she looked like, you know, in that famous scene in Psycho, Norman Bates' mother in the window. Because I was like, I can't tell if she's moving. Is that the painting? Is that her? Is it someone else? You know, and it would kind of freak me out a little bit. And every now and then, she would yell at the kids. Because the kids, as they were walking home, maybe they'd be kicking balls around, maybe they'd run into other people's front lawns. And if they'd got into someone's front lawn, she would defend the garden, yeah? And she'd tell them, get off the lawn, don't be, you know. And that would intimidate the kids. On one occasion, now I had a paper round at this time, and part of my paper round included the street. And on one occasion, as I was doing my paper round, she was not at that window. And instead, she was at a different window at the side of the house that had perfect view of her letterbox, right? And she wanted to talk to me, right? And as I came up to put the newspaper through her letterbox, she called out to me, come here. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's going on? And she called me up, and she said, I'm very old. It turned out she must have been about 4'8". That diddy little thing, right? But she was very frail, and she struggled to get up the steps that led to her house. And so she said, would you be so kind as to deliver the newspaper to my front door versus my letterbox? Because otherwise it's just hard for me to get to. Okay, sure, I'll do that. And over time I started delivering to her front door, and then sometimes she would not be at the front door, she'd be waiting for me. And she'd be at the window, and I would deliver it through the window. Right? But things changed. And after a while, I couldn't get away from her window for about 30 minutes because she'd be chatting to me. Yeah? And now my paper round would take about 45 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. After this experience, it would take about an hour and a half. Right? Because almost every occasion, she'd want to stop and chat. And that evolved over time. We exchanged phone numbers, not in a romantic way. I was 13, she was about 80. But she wanted my phone number just in case she could call on me for some extra assistance or for some help. Yeah, if she'd run out of something, could I perhaps nip to the shop at the top of the road and get it for her and so on. And what was interesting was, we kind of became friends. Isn't that interesting? And it was a really neat experience. I'd go over and do jobs for her from time to time, and every now and then she'd call me up asking if there was something that she had that maybe she didn't need anymore that I'd like to have. And she was looking for a reason to have a conversation. Yeah. And so, you know, this kind of unique relationship developed. Fast forward a few years to when I was about 17, and I had a similar, well, not with the same kind of scary start, but at the church I go to, many churches are perhaps known for having tough wooden pews, yeah, that people sit on. And if you're elderly and you're frail, that can be sore on your old backside. Mm-hmm. And there were some elderly ladies at the church I went to that couldn't make it to church on Sunday because they couldn't managed the hour set down on that tough wooden pew. But it meant that the sacrament that they would take each week, they couldn't take. So I was asked to deliver it to them. And the same thing happened. What should have been perhaps a 10-minute exercise, go in, sit down, visit with them, provide that service, and then go, would turn into an hour-long visit, where you'd sit, you'd chat. And what would I do most of the time? I'd just be listening. Yeah, and they would talk, and they would talk. They just wanted someone to talk to. Now, why do I share this? Because, again, over time, I actually found myself, if I was having a tough week, looking for a reason, I'm going to pop over and visit them. Yeah, and we'll just have a chat and spend some time together. And it was a really neat experience. And we developed very long-lasting relationships. And really grateful for those experiences. But I share this because when it comes to influence, being a person of influence, two things I think stand out. One is, those ladies influenced my life quite significantly. What I did, and then maybe they might say reciprocal, yeah? But what played a part there was listening. Taking the time out to listen. Now, when we look at our contact lists, for example, as we strive to build our business, there is a space of time between adding the name of someone that you know or that you have met to your contact list and to the time when you approach them to invite them to hear a presentation about the business. And that space and time is used to build rapport. Yeah? And relationship. One of the great ways that we can do that is to learn to listen. I believe, and in fact, essentially the word listen comes from an old English word, listen, which means to yield to advice. That's interesting, that, isn't it? So we yield to advice. So we listen to these people, and we maybe take their counsel on what they are looking for, what they might need, so that we can help meet some needs for them. But I think it's really critical for us, if we want to build our business and be people of influence, that we want first learn to love those that are around us. I think listening is an attribute or an outward manifestation of love. Yeah? So let's learn to listen. And the more we listen, and the more we're patient in that process, we will build these relationships with people where we can provide a great service and do an awful lot of good. So I think it's really, really critical as we build our businesses, as we strive to become people of influence. Everyone in this room can have significant influence on others if we love them enough to listen. And what great rapport and great bonds can be built when we do just that. You know, whenever I have coaching sessions, or mentoring sessions with members of my team or people at NECAM that aren't in my team but we're still working together, yeah, because that's what we do. If they've got a particular challenge that they're facing, often what happens is someone will come to me and say, I've got this particular issue, what do you think the solution is? And they want me to immediately provide the solution. Well, you can't do that, can you? But what's the first thing that has to happen? I need to listen. Or fill me in first. Yeah, you do all the talking, I'm going to sit back and listen. And actually, a great coach and a great mentor might actually do the least amount of talking. Yeah, they just listen, and help you reach your own conclusion. Yeah, and help you find the solutions to your own challenges. Now, how do we put this in the context of NECAM? I'm going to jump to a couple of slides here.
Sorry.
What's wrong?
What am I doing wrong?
Okay, I'm going to flip through.
What's turned off?
Sorry. Oh, this isn't working?
No, it's just turned off. Save the battery. Sorry.
Okay. Stay with me 1 second. Okay. I've got two slides that I want to share with you in the context of how we can be of greater influence for good in NECAM. The first here is what we've identified here as what we call the core circle of influence. Now, as we go through discussing this principle or this behavior, keep in mind what I've just talked about in regards to the attributes of someone that is an influencer. Someone that is loving, someone that listens. Yeah, because that attitude and that behavior significantly influences our success rate in moving forward in creating these circles of influence. So, I know you want me right there. Oh, you put this in here anyway. So, now, am I tall enough to reach the top? Okay, let me describe this graphic for you, okay?
Because there's a pointer in there.
You've got a pointer.
Oh, it has? Okay, here we go. Cool. So here is you at the center. This little picture here is your NECAM wellness home. So you are living by example and having your own wellness home. Okay, but you are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What do you think these 5 different blocks might represent?
Wellness homes.
Customers that have wellness homes. You notice that in the center here you've got this little home being held up by 2 hands. Yeah, I like that little symbol. Yeah, it suggests some love there, again, some nurturing. But you've got, as a distributor, as a core consultant, you are reaching out, you've got your own wellness home, and you've found at least 5 customers that have begun the journey of creating their own wellness home. Beneath you, you've got 3 other people. We've used this language a lot. You've heard it discussed already today. Teach 3 to reach 3. Yeah, that's a really important theme, isn't it? It's a simple message, teach 3 to reach 3, but what are we teaching them to do? The same thing. Yeah. So as we duplicate that activity, we can have a significant impact for good and influence a lot of people's lives. So if I go to the next slide, this slide here, this is the kind of impact that we can have. Now, Mike used this language before, which I like, the triple P. What's the phrase, Mike, sorry?
Triple bottom line.
Triple bottom line, sorry. People, planet, and profit. That's a great business, isn't it, that has not one bottom line, but 3 bottom lines. We impact for good the people that we associate with. We impact for good the planet that we live in. We impact for good the profitability of people's businesses. Okay? Now this is all designed, as Mike explained earlier, he showed this, I want to reiterate it because this is a presentation in and of itself that shows the potential for influence, for good, that you as a NECAM consultant can have in your business and on the world. By teaching 3 to teach 3 to reach 3, by having them reach out and get 5 customers that have wellness homes, you get that effect there that multiplies. Again, look at all the people here that start their wellness homes. Now, as we've discussed already, a wellness home starts but doesn't finish. Yeah? Isn't that great that you can have a customer that comes back and comes back and comes back? Let me tell you why that is really important. When we emphasized before a quality enrollment, what is a quality enrollment? 500 points of retail sales a month. Now, here's a critical point. I want to stress this because this is something that got misinterpreted along the way. So let me set the record straight a little on this issue. It's very, very important. The purpose of the 500 points a month of retail sales was designed to be auto-ship sales, meaning you don't need to think about your customer orders on a monthly basis, because you've got enough customer volume that's taking care of itself month after month, so that I can go out and build the network in my business. Yeah. Now, here is the challenge that many people experience. Instead of doing that, they didn't focus on autoship, and instead, it was 500 points of volume that they did brand new every month, which meant they were continually looking for new customers because they would place one order and stop. Yeah? That's time consuming, isn't it? The wellness home reverses that trend. Because if you've got a customer that places one order and stops, you've got to continually go out and look for new customers. If they understand the concept of the wellness home and they buy into that philosophy, then they come back time and time again for more and more product to enrich their home and enrich their lives. And as a consequence, you get more and more people that are having a better experience. More and more homes around the planet are being enriched and improved. And the consequence of that, like we can see here, silver 500, gold 1500, platinum 4,500, 13,500 is a diamond, 40,000 is a royal diamond a month, if each of these people are doing at least 100 points in volume towards their wellness homes. That sounds fantastic, doesn't it? It's the triple bottom line effect. We bless people, we bless the planet, and we bless the profits of people's businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have great influence, love those around you. If you want to demonstrate that love, take time to listen. Get to know people. Allow that space of time to nurture and build the relationships so that you can find a way to make that rapport mean something so much. When you do that, you can have the chance to be a person of significant influence in their lives. And in the Nikkei context, what a great way to have influence for good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.